with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Marnie Roper. Here we are at the end of 2015, and we wrap up AbleQuest after another year of interesting and enlightening interviews. And we end with a bang, talking about the renowned Sydney New Year's Eve fireworks display. 2RPH is proud to broadcast a live audio description of the event, in conjunction with the City of Sydney. It's not just about the 9pm and midnight fireworks, but also about the accompanying entertainment, the boat parade, the flyover, the welcome to country, and the atmosphere in general. This broadcast is the brainchild of Nikki Lindemann, General Manager of 2RPH. To hear about the background and the process involved, Barbara Sullivan and I were joined in the studio by Nikki and also Peter Worthington, Production Manager at the station.
Hello, Nikki. It's very nice to see you on that side of the console for a change. It feels a bit odd, actually, but I'm very pleased to be here. You've got an exciting time coming up again with New Year's Eve, and we thought it'd be wonderful if AbleQuest listeners could hear all about 2RPH's efforts at audio description of such an exciting event. Now, presumably the 2RPH effort has to be done in collaboration with the City of Sydney. How does that happen?
Well, many years ago, Barbara, I suddenly had this idea when I heard that the City of Sydney's very incredible program of New Year's Eve fireworks was actually not being audio described or not being really broadcast to our listeners. So City of Sydney are our landlords, they're very much respected landlords. So I rang them up and I said, how about 2RPH? And it took a while for it to grind through the system. But about 4 years ago, we did actually get together with them and created a partnership that became what it is today. So the first year we did it, it was actually 4 years ago. It was not audio described live. We received files via the internet. Actually, I think they were on CD. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Right. It was quite funny. We received files and we put them to air on 2RPH, and they included lots of other material, like interviews with people involved and a description of the fireworks.
But all of this was post facto. So this was in the week or
no,
so after
it. No, it was before. It was pre. And I'm giving away secrets here because it was pre-recorded. Interesting. And we were surprised because we naturally assumed that it would be live, but it wasn't. And the material was very interesting. It was very good. As I say, a lot of background. But it wasn't the actual live audio description. So that happened for 2 years. And then last year, there's a great deal of feedback and work that happens post New Year's Eve, and we were invited to various meetings, and one of the feedbacks that we had had from our listeners, and also that I felt quite strongly about, was that it should be live, if at all possible,
yes.
Because it gives more of a real feel to the event, which after all is very exciting, and Sydney is possibly, would you say, the leading city in the world in New Year's Eve? I don't know.
I think the rest of the world thinks that, yes.
I think so too. I mean, we certainly do spend a lot of money and make a big deal about our fantastic fireworks, and they are fantastic. So they decided to go ahead and do them live and employed audio describers, professional audio describers.
So before we get into the detail of, yes, about how it's organised, can we back up a little and just talk about what a listener of 2RPH can expect on New Year's Eve with the coverage and other things going on?
As we know, there are fireworks at 9 o'clock, the family, so-called family fireworks, and then the main fireworks are at midnight. And both of these events are audio described. That means there are two of them, and they literally talk about what they see, the colours, the forms. But as people will be aware, there's an awful lot else going on the harbour that evening. So we will be having some RPH programming sort of in between, because the poor audio describers get very tired. It's quite a strenuous job.
5 hours of it or whatever.
Yes. So they'll be introducing all the activities, the welcome to country and the various other things, most of which are still fairly secret. And then they describe the fireworks at 9 o'clock, and then they go off for a bit and then we come back at midnight and they describe those fireworks as well.
So it switches back to regular programming in between. And so basically stay tuned for the 5 hours and you'll have good programming from 2RPH between all the description
points. Yes, yes, very good programming.
So back to the discussion about pre-recording and going live. And we've got here as well Peter Worthington, our production manager at 2RPH. Peter, so in going from pre-recording to live, I'm sure that comes with its difficulties. Is it more difficult to do that?
Well, it's a whole different kettle of fish in that when we had the first two programs, that was actually supplied to us. And actually, it was on a stick drive, not a CD, but that's...
close.
Close, almost there. So we were able to just feed those into our normal automation system. And the computer took care of the rest. In fact, we all just went home and I listened to it at home, in fact. Of course, when it's live, it's totally different in that we have to have set up a link between effectively a mini studio at their observation point. And we have an audio feed that comes back to our studio here at Glebe. And we use very similar technology to what we use to get the signal from Glebe to our transmitters. We actually have to have somebody here at Glebe to just effectively make sure that the signal's coming in properly, and if it's not, we have contingency plans with, I suppose, auxiliary channels, if you like. That then has to be switched over if something goes wrong. And effectively, it is live to the extent that the people are not in our studio, but they're external. We have audio that comes back here, and we have a person or people coordinating to make sure the signal goes to air and then establishes links between the programs. For example, they're not contiguous. So we have programs that happen between, obviously, the 9 o'clock fireworks and the midnight fireworks.
Yes.
So that's either started automatically or somebody has to be here to start it manually. But whichever way it's done, somebody does have to be here. So it is a totally different way of doing things, I guess.
And that's a first, really, for 2RPH.
Well, it's a second.
It's a second.
Oh, it's a second, yeah, but did, I mean, it's a first.
Yes, it's a first.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, it's a first.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm.
In the greater scheme of things.
And the other thing is that as well as broadcasting, we also need to pre-record things because maybe within a day or two, we'll get all these recordings up on the internet, on our website, and also City of Sydney need copies in both WAV and MP3 format. So there's quite a lot involved.
Huge effort over what is normally a nice public holiday period for everybody else.
It's a long night.
It's a very long night and it's a lot of work. Mm. Yeah, I was going to go on to mention that actually. It's very important. We will have the audio available for listeners, anyone who can't stay awake or wants to play it back to family and friends. We will have it available on our website pretty soon after the end of the festivities on New Year's Eve, but definitely by New Year's Day. So you can actually stream that audio and experience it again.
Now, back to a comment you made about interviews being included in the early programmes. Who was interviewed for those?
To the best of my recollection, definitely Fortunato Foti, who is the owner of the company Foti, what are they called? Foti Fireworks
Foti
or something.
Pyrotechnics. Yeah.
Pyrotechnics. They're as listeners will probably be aware.
What a fabulous name.
Isn't it? Fortunato. He's known as Forch. I don't think that's a secret. He's known as Forch. And he is a very interesting character, very flamboyant character. And this family have been involved with fireworks and pyrotechnics for decades.
I think this is their seventh generation.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Yes. Mm. So they definitely know what they're doing. And he's responsible for everything to do with the New Year's Eve fireworks, both family, 9 o'clock ones and the main ones. And he was interviewed. Also, Matt Hall, who is the stunt pilot, I guess you'd call him, who does a display early in the evening before dark over the Harbour Bridge and up and down the river. And quite extraordinary feats that he performs in the air. And he was interviewed. Do you remember any others, Pete? I think those were the main...
You're doing far better than I am at this stage. But there was a lot of stuff.
Well, those sorts of things are fascinating to be. Mm. Wonderful to still have interviews. Is that possible?
Oh, it would be great. It would be great. And we hoped to have been able to get that sort of programming to slot in between. So to give the entire evening a sort of a different and a very festive, a New Year's Eve festive feel. But that wasn't possible this year. Perhaps next year, please, City of Sydney.
So tell us about the audio describers themselves. Who are they? And you said the City of Sydney employ them.
City of Sydney employ them. The sort of lead person is a lady by the name of Emma Bedford. And her sidekick is Will, what's his last name? I can't remember his last name. Oh, dear, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Will.
Will is brought in by Emma. Emma's doing it for the second year, and so we've worked with Emma before. We don't know Will. But Emma and Will, and it's really good to have the male-female because they interact.
And see different things, actually.
And see different things and complement each other and have little sort of not conversations as such, but it's a nice little package, it really is. They do a great job. And Emma's very experienced. It's her main job. It's her company. She does these things for a living. So she's highly trained and very good at it. She's quite funny. So I urge people to listen because she does come up with some very funny
interesting
jokes.
Descriptions. Yeah. Mm. So where do they actually do it from? You mentioned observation point. Is an observation point?
That is actually a secret.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's why Peter termed it...
The observation point, yeah. in fact, we don't 100% sure... We're not 100% sure where it is either right now.
It's a secret that we're not allowed to divulge, but we do know that it will be at Circular Quay somewhere. Mm.
Why is it a secret?
City of Sydney don't want anyone to divulge. I think there's a security issue.
Sure. Mm. So, well, talking of security, I can imagine with all those masses of people who get there actually very early and fill that whole area, is it difficult for the audio describers to get in or if you're going, for example?
Well, we have to be there by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, don't we?
Yeah. Yes, it's very organised, and as Peter says, we have to be there very early. You wouldn't want to be trying to get anywhere by any particular time, I think, past, what, six?
Yes, I imagine event control is very stringent.
Very stringent. And there are a great many staff and a huge numbers of security and so forth. So once you're in, and then you can't get out at all during the entire...
Not that you want to get out until well after midnight,
no,
I imagine.
No, and that's another story, how you...
Now, you've been into the room where this secret location where it's being recorded. Is it an exciting atmosphere to be there listening to it all and watching and listening at the same time?
It is, yes. As Pete says, it's a long evening, but there is an atmosphere up there. But again, it's quite strictly controlled. The City of Sydney are very, you know, very, very controlled about security and so forth. We have a little room sort of slightly separated because the audio describers need to concentrate, so they can't have people wandering backwards and forwards.
Yes.
But between numbers, as it were, when we hand back to 2RPH for programming, normal programming, there's a bit of hilarity, yes, and it is a good atmosphere and it's very exciting to be in the middle of it, yes.
You mentioned before it's available on the website. Easy to find on the website?
Pete, that's a Pete question.
Well,
where are you going to put it?
Where we'll put it initially is on the front page.
Oh, great.
You'll be able to actually see the files or the actual links. You'll be able to get them before New Year's Eve, but they'll just be something like, this isn't available until New Year's Eve. And we do that for technical reasons that I won't go into. I'd expect we'll leave it on the front page probably till the end of January, and then you'll be able to find them if you look in, under the menu item Listen Audio Archive. They'll be there.
Which is where AbleQuest is.
Which is where AbleQuest is.
So that's people will be able to find this interview.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, we will be airing this one on...
Christmas Day.
Yeah, Christmas Day. Actually, Christmas Day.
Well, thank you both very much for taking the time. I know how busy your lives are here at the station. So thanks, Nikki. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to tuning in.
Absolutely. Thank you and happy Christmas.
And happy Christmas. And happy New Year.
And happy New Year.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.